Welcome back to Deed and B College. Today we're building something that sits right at the center of serious drum and bass arrangement, an immense style call and response riff that actually behaves like a record, not just a loop. The whole point here is simple. The drums ask the question, the bass answers it, and the arrangement keeps evolving so the idea can carry through a full drop. Not just a good two-bar jam, a proper section. Something that feels intentional, DJ-friendly, and dangerous on a system. This matters because drum and bass lives on contrast. It lives on phrasing. It lives on tension and release. If the break is busy, the bass has to know when to speak and when to back off. And if the bass is doing too much, the break stops sounding like a break. So we're not just sound designing. We are managing space, low-end discipline, transient hierarchy, and arrangement energy. Start with the drums. In Ableton Live 12, load an amen break on an audio track and shape it into a tight two-bar phrase. Don't overcomplicate it. The biggest mistake here is trying to make the break sound amazing before it has room to breathe. Keep the first bar a little more active, then let the second bar open up enough that the bass can answer, without fighting for attention. Use warp only as much as you need to lock it to tempo. If the source is loose, tighten the main hits first. Preserve the swing, but make sure the important transients sit properly. The snare should feel like an anchor. The hats should push forward, and the break should still sound like a break, not a gridlocked loop. What to listen for here is really important. The snare accents should feel like the statement of the phrase. The hi-hat detail should create motion, but it should not blur the space where the bass will speak. If the break already feels crowded, stop and simplify now. A call and response idea needs negative space. That space is part of the groove. Now build the response as a separate bass instrument layer. A practical Ableton chain is wave eatable or operator for the core tone, then saturator for harmonics, EQ8 for cleanup, and compression only if you really need it. Keep the concept clean. The movement layer gives you character, but the sub stays stable. You do not want your whole bass to be one giant unstable blob. If you use wave eatable, a saw or square-based source with a low-pass filter can work really well. Add a little envelope movement to the cutoff so the note speaks when it hits. If you use operator, build a sine or near-sine foundation and blend in some extra harmonic content on top. The point is not huge sub in the movement layer. The point is readability. A good starting point is mild saturation, maybe a couple dB to bring the bass forward. Use EQ to trim unnecessary low end from the character layer, often somewhere around the 70 to 110 Hz range depending on the patch and the arrangement. Keep the note lengths short to medium. You want the bass to answer, not smear across the bar. And here's the first big creative decision. Write the bass as a conversation, not a copy. If the amen is busy on beat 3, don't put the bass right on top of that exact pocket. Let it answer just after the snare, or on the offbeat, or with a tiny gap before the hit lands. That is what makes the groove feel conversational. The drums make the statement, and the bass finishes it. There are two broad ways to approach this. One is tighter and more brutal. Short notes, more silence, sharper envelope shape, harder impact. That works brilliantly for darker rollers and minimal neural-leaning ideas. The other is more fluid, slightly longer notes, more filter movement, a more spoken kind of phrase that suits jungle-inflected or atmospheric sections. Neither is wrong. The right choice depends on how busy the break already is. If the drums are dense, go tighter. If the track needs more identity and breathing room, go a little more fluid. Now separate the sub from the movement. This is non-negotiable if you want the thing to hit properly. Keep a dedicated sub layer as a pure or near-pure sine, mono, centered, and steady. Then let the movement layer carry the grit and articulation above it. That way, if the animated layer is muted, the drop still works. That's the test. The sub should be clean, consistent, and disciplined. No widening, no unnecessary processing, no chorus nonsense. The movement layer can be high-passed, slightly distorted, and shaped with automation. You can open and close the filter, adjust volume subtly, and create motion across the phrase. But don't automate everything every bar. In drum and bass, too much movement can kill the punch. What to listen for now is the relationship between the bass and the drums. The bass should feel huge, but the break should still sound alive. If muting the movement layer leaves you with a strong low-end foundation, you're on the right track. If muting it destroys the whole idea, the bass is too dependent on the fancy layer. Let the drum edits guide the bass edits too. This is where the arrangement starts feeling like a real record. Duplicate the drum clip and make a slightly different version for the second half of the phrase. Then adjust the bass answer to fit that change. Even a tiny difference in the last two beats can make the loop feel composed instead of copied. The best places to answer are usually just after a snare, before a reset into the next two-bar cycle, in the gap created by a break chop, or behind a fill where the drum energy briefly drops. If the bass keeps talking over the snare, the groove gets flattened. The strongest versions are the ones where the drums lead the sentence and the bass finishes it. A very useful sound design move here is restrained modulation. Use auto filter for clean sweeps if you want them, but keep resonance moderate. Automate cutoff in long phrases, not every 16th note. The reason this works in drum and bass is that the genre depends on micro contrast. A static bass over an amen can be heavy, sure, but a bass that opens and closes in response to the drum pattern creates forward motion without needing more notes. And that's the deeper lesson here. This isn't just about making a bass line. It's about controlling who owns the foreground at each instant. If the break already has attitude, the bass does not need to be busy to feel heavy. In fact, one of the most advanced moves is often removing one event you like so the groove breathes and the accents land harder. Once the phrase starts speaking clearly, commit it to audio. Seriously, print it. Resample the bass or bounce it to audio so you can chop, reverse, and replace the hits as part of the arrangement. That's where things start to feel like records instead of MIDI sketches. Once it's audio, you can reverse a tail into a snare, clip a note shorter, duplicate a single hit for a transition, or warp a response slightly for variation. This is also a workflow win. Rename your printed clips by section, not by sound design mood. Something like drop a bass print 01 is useful. Final 7 is not. Keep yourself moving. Now arrange the riff like a DNB section, not just a loop. Think in 8-bar grammar. The first 8 bars establish the conversation. The next 8 bars should add one clear change. That might be a gap fill, an altered final note, a 1-bar mute, a stripped response, or a slightly more aggressive variation. The ear wants evolution by bar 8 or bar 16, not a random overhaul, just a smart shift. A strong arrangement shape is to keep the first 4 bars readable, then introduce the twist in the last 4 bars of the phrase. That could mean dropping the movement layer for 1 bar before a new section, letting the break or fill carry the transition. That kind of negative space makes the read entry hit much harder. What to listen for when you arrange it is whether the section feels like it's going somewhere. If every 8 bars is identical, the energy stalls. If the changes are too big, the identity disappears. You want controlled evolution. Same characters, deeper argument. Now check the full context. Stop soloing the riff and listen with the drums and sub together. This is the moment where the idea either becomes a track or stays a cool loop. Ask yourself, does the bass answer preserve the drum groove or flatten it? Does the kick lose impact when the bass lands? Does the snare still feel like the emotional anchor? If the kick loses punch, shorten the bass notes, trim some low mids from the movement layer, or shift the bass hit slightly later so it doesn't collide with the transient. If the snare loses snap, simplify the bass rhythm around the backbeat. In dark drum and bass, the snare matters. If the bass keeps stepping on it, the whole record feels weaker. Stereo discipline matters too. Keep the sub fully mono. Keep the movement layer narrow to moderate at most. If you want width, use it on a high-pass texture or ambience layer, not on the core low end. Check the whole thing in mono. If the phrase gets much smaller, the stereo information was carrying too much of the identity. That's fine for an effect, but not for the backbone of the drop. Why does all this work in drum and bass? Because the genre is built on tension between motion and control. You want the amen to feel alive, but you also need the bass to be disciplined enough to support the groove. That contrast is what makes the drop hit. Not sheer density, not just loudness. Contrast, timing, and restraint. A few common traps to avoid. Don't make the bass answer too long. If it smears into the next phrase, the conversation disappears. Don't let the amen and bass occupy the same rhythmic pocket every time, or the groove turns crowded. Don't over-widen the bass and lose your club weight. And don't over-distort the sound before the arrangement is proven. Distortion can make a solo patch feel exciting, but in context it can turn harsh fast. Also, don't keep editing tone when the real problem is phrase shape. If you've changed the rhythm, the sound, and the mix balance several times and it still feels vague, stop treating it like a sound design issue. It's probably the structure. Fix the shape first. Here's a simple professional habit that helps a lot. Check the phrase in 3 states before you keep sculpting it. Drums only. Bass only. Full drop. If the bass sounds clever alone but ruins the drums in context, It's not ready yet. The best version is the one where each part sounds more convincing, because the other exists. For darker and heavier material, there's a strong version of this technique where you use fewer notes than you think you need. Let the phrase imply menace instead of spelling it out. A small number of heavy, well-placed hits often hits harder than constant motion. Silence after the snare can feel massive if you commit to it. You can also print different versions early. A dry, readable version. A dirtier version. A stripped version with more space. Then swap character instead of rewriting the notes every 8 bars. That's a very readable pro move. It keeps the idea coherent while still giving you enough evolution to carry a full drop.